Hello and welcome to the program. This is Dave Jeffrey with you once again on Optimal Life. And I would like to say that unfortunately, once again, I've had to produce this program on my own. Our two lovely presenters, Lynn Perrott and Virginia Collins, because of the coronavirus, we cannot all be together in the same room. So, unfortunately, once again, I've had to produce it on my own. Ladies, I really miss you, and I certainly look forward to when we can all get back together again. Okay, in today's program, we're going to look at giving money to your children early. And speaking of money, the Queen's finances, even they are suffering. Seniors' Rights, it's worthwhile investigating for all types of free and helpful legal information. And how to go about making claims and pensions could be some useful information, particularly for elder diggers. And we're going to have a look at the My Aged Care jumble out there and try and sort it out a bit. Okay, first up today, the subject of giving money to your children early before you die. It's taken from the Explainer Financial Advisory section in the Sydney Morning Herald on the 19th of February this year. Written by Noel Whittaker, it's in the form of question and answer. The writer says, I am 81, and without being morbid, I think it's a good idea to think about the financial ramifications of my departing this planet. Having read considerably, I've come up with the idea that I'll give my money to my children early. Do you think this is good? Noel writes, your proposal seems fine. I assume that this is a fully functional family with no family dramas that will take place after your demise. This might be a good time to get your children involved in your super funds. Give them an input into how the money's to be invested. It may assist them with investing the proceeds on their own behalf when they receive the money. Since you have some excess money, I support the idea of giving some of the funds to your children sooner rather than later, but not all your funds. If you give them some money now, you can have the enjoyment of watching them use that money. But the reason not to give it all to them now is consider the ramifications of leaving money to children. They might have potential money problems themselves. Now, this could be for a range of reasons. It could be a failed business. It could be a rocky relationship, maybe a drug addiction problem. If that is the case, you should seek advice about including a testament trust into your will. Now, there's another very good reason why you want to think twice about giving lots of money to your children. You may just need it yourself later on. For example, you might have to pay for your own aged care. And remember, once you give money to someone, it's almost always impossible to get it back. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. We're going to ask the question now, has the corona isolation affected your finances? Well, if so, spare a thought for the Queen. Queen's massive financial blowout. The coronavirus lockdown, coupled with months-long closure of the royal palaces, has threatened to blow out the Queen's budget by over $33 million. According to an exclusive report from The Sun, an email to staff from the head of the royal household, Lord Chamberlain Earl Peel, warned there could be a $33.2 million shortfall. Now, this is a third of the annual royal income. Employees could face a pay freeze and even job cuts. Visits from millions of tourists to Buckingham Palace each year rakes in about $22.5 million, the royal family from ticket and souvenir sales, while visits to Windsor Castle earn them around $46.5 million each year. Although the UK appears to be over the peak of infections, it remains unclear what measures are going to happen in the future. Such things as social distancing, will that come to an end? Well, the Queen's diary, which has been planned to 2 years in advance, was filled with tours by her senior royals, as well as visits to the UK from foreign heads of state. But as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the chance of life only truly returning to normal once a vaccine is found, all remaining this year have been cancelled, and events next year and into 2022 have been placed under review. One royal staffer said, "We just cannot make any plans. We don't know what will happen. The virus has had a cataclysmic effect. Even the Christmas party is in doubt now." Staff, including those who work in Buckingham Palace state rooms, usually open to tourists heading into the UK summer, have been asked to work from home. While they're yet to lose their job, many have been warned they could face pay freezes. In the email, Lord Chamberlain said property spend would also be reduced. That's a move that could affect planned renovations and repairs to Buckingham Palace. The royal household, like most organisations, is not immune to the impact of the pandemic financial worries. Many projects have been halted, all but essential expenditure suspended. A recruitment freeze has been implemented on new posts. They will not be appointed unless a very clear business case exists. This year's annual pay review has also been paused. Around 500 people are employed by the royal household, though it's currently operating on a skeleton staff in many areas. The blow comes following one royal biographer's warning that Her Majesty may never return to the front line of royal duties. This is if coronavirus restrictions render public engagements unsafe for longer than this year. The Queen, now 94, will remain in lockdown at Windsor Castle until at least the end of August. That will be her longest absence ever during her 68-year reign. "It's terribly sad, but I cannot see the Queen returning to her usual job," it said. The COVID-19 virus is not going to go away soon. It will be months, if not years. It would be far too risky for the Queen to start meeting people regularly. She's always loved getting out and meeting people, but she just cannot take the risk now. How can she carry out investitures, meet ambassadors, do walkabouts, visit places without getting close to these people? If the Queen does get the bug, it could be fatal, as well as putting the royal family at risk. Well, there you are, just about everybody's having problems financially with the COVID restrictions. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. We'd like to take a few moments now to talk about the legal side of ageing. There's a wonderful group called Seniors Rights. They're a government organisation and highly reputable, and we'd thoroughly recommend them to you. I know that sometimes the legal profession does get a bad name. There's some, not many, but there's a few bad eggs there. Well, Seniors Rights, they will look after you, and we certainly guarantee them. Now, we'd like to take a moment to discuss the subject of elder abuse and why you need legal representation and how Seniors Rights can help you. I'd like to begin with a personal anecdote. For many years now, I have been involved with a group that looks after underprivileged children worldwide. Because of this, I had to get a Working with Children certificate, as in a police check and other checks. Some years later, I became welfare officer at my local RSL club, and I was told that I had to get a Working with Adults check. I asked why. My question to them was, why I have a Working with Children certificate, why do I need a Working with Adults certificate and check? They explained to me, with children, they only really worry about physical child abuse. Whereas with adults, it can be in other ways and not just violence. It can be abuse of your money, abuse of your will, abuse of your property or other possessions. And this is not just carers either. It can be your very own family. Quite often you hear of nephews, nieces or other family members taking advantage of their older relations. One of the bigger forms of abuse here is a friend or a family member, anybody at all, gets friendly with an older person. They like them and then they start signing over their property, their will, their money, or other gifts. Not that difficult, but it needs to be watched. This is where Seniors Rights can be an invaluable service to you. Also, Seniors Rights is free. Now, I'm going to come back in a moment with a couple of numbers and a website, so you might like to get a pen and paper. It is an important, useful one. Okay, Seniors Rights, 1-800-424-079. On the net, it is info at seniorsrightsservice.org.au. Also, if you need a translator, they have a TIS, a Translating and Interpreting Service. That number, 13 14 50. Now, with all this, I just typed in seniors' rights. It comes up on the net pretty well if you have any trouble there, but it's a worthwhile service for you. As we said, it's free. And that number again, 1-800-424-079. If you missed that article, we've just been talking about Seniors' Rights Service. It's free and it is most helpful. They'll cover all legal topics with advice and, in some cases, representation. Now, if you missed that and you'd like to know more about it, give me a call here at Radio 2RPH in Sydney, 02-9518-8811, and we'd be more than happy to pass information on to you. Our next item is entitled, Is It Too Late to Submit a Claim for an Old Injury? Now, this is mainly to do with us old diggers, say is it too late or not, but anybody wanting to submit a claim, we've got some good people that can probably help you. It's taken from the February edition of the 9RAR, that's the 9 Battalion magazine. It's written by Tony Mulvaney. He's president of the St. Mary's Vietnam Veterans Association, and he's also their pension officer. He says many veterans with service-related injuries sustained years ago believe that they're not entitled to submit claims, as they now assume it's too late. This is not the case. There is no time limit on the lodgement of claims with the DVA. This is to have your injury or illness accepted as related to your service. It is, however, to your advantage to claim as soon as you become aware of the injury or the illness. This is because supporting information is more likely to be readily available. Now, this will allow claims to be determined more quickly and efficiently. Claims can be lodged online. The DVA, that's the Department of Veterans, can also provide treatment for certain medical conditions to eligible veterans and Defence Force members, regardless of whether or not the condition is related to their military service. Subject to providing a confirmed medical diagnosis, treatment can be provided in some cases by the DVA under the White Card arrangements for cancer and TB. Treatment for medical health conditions is also available for all ADF members with at least one day continuous service, without the need to provide a formal medical diagnosis. Further information on eligibility is available on the DVA website. However, if you wish to receive compensation in respect to any of these conditions, in addition to treatments, you'll also need to lodge a claim for liability with the DVA. Okay, so what do we do for now? Well, for inquiries, go to the DVA. You can go via email. That's at generalinquiries@dva.gov.au, or give them a call, 1-800-555-254. Now, there's a little more information here. You can also contact your ex-service organisation, many of which provide advocacy services for more complex claims. Now, I'm just going to say those details again. Go to generalinquiries@dva.gov.au, or phone them, 1-800-555-254. Got it? 1-800-555-254. That article saying it may not be too late to submit a claim for an old injury. The sooner, the better, though. Get onto it now. But also, anybody not in the services or have never been in the services, I reckon you could still give them a call, the DVA. They'd certainly give you some advice how to go about it. Good luck if you're claiming. Here with Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Well, next up, we've got some advice on staying connected during these awful times. Now, we've got 7 ideas. The first one, you can schedule regular phone calls with your family or friends. Set a time to do it. Number two, send routine text messages. These are just to say hi or forward an article of interest. Number three, you could exchange a picture a day via text messages. You can also do this via email or social media. Why not start a photo challenge? Now, that's a good idea. Send photos to each other every day and try and outdo each other. You can challenge people to picture a post every day of their garden, maybe their meal or anything, really. Number four, you can organise video calls to share mealtimes or activities. You could participate in shared virtual experiences, things like joining or starting online book clubs or streaming clubs, TV shows or movies at the same time. You can virtually visit, say, the zoo or a museum or a gallery. You can do it all together online. Number six, how about this? Return to the days of sending a postcard or a letter or a handmade artwork. This is a great time to encourage grandchildren to write letters or send their drawings. And number seven, are you feeling overconnected? Well, take a break. If everyone in your social circle is suddenly making plans to get in touch, or you're living in a busy household and just cannot get away from it, you might actually feel like you're overconnected. You might want some time to yourself. Well, take a break from everyone else and just focus on you. This is important. Self-care. Maybe you like to read a book, watch a movie, meditate, go for a walk, or have a bath. Whatever helps you to relax and find peace of mind is good for you right now. What an item there on staying connected. I must say on a whimsical note here, I did one with my family recently on one of those video Zoom hookups and had a big night Saturday night. All had dinner, a few drinks. At the end, you couldn't get a word in. It was like the pub on Saturday night. Look, on a serious note, though, I'd like to say there's two other good programs produced by Therese Plain. One is 4 o'clock Sunday afternoons, alternate Sunday afternoons, in fact. It's called Aging with Attitude. Now, the other one is on 9:15 Sunday nights, Meditative Moments. Now, we just spoke before about if you want to just be by yourself a little, you might like to meditate. This Meditative Moments is a very easy-to-follow program. Self-explanatory. The mantra Therese was explaining to me, Ma-Ra-Na-Ta. You repeat that with meditation in mind. So I might even ask Therese over the next couple of programs if she'll do that and explain meditative ways. So that's 9:15 Sunday nights, Meditative Moments. I hope you're enjoying the program. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Look, I know over the last few months we've looked a lot at scams. Well, these scammers are getting pretty smart. It seems that every time there's something momentous on, the bushfires, the floods, the coronavirus, these guys come out. Well, now it's tax time. They love it. This article taken from The Telegraph on the 14th of July is called Going Viral. Scammers are now staging ATO cons. It's written by Anthony Keane. Cybercriminals are circling as tax time has arrived for millions of workers and business owners. Having had success stealing people's money with bushfires and COVID-19 scams this year, the fraudsters now focus on taxpayers. They are preying on their pressures and concerns around tax returns. Australian Competition and Consumer Commission Deputy Delia Rickard said people should be wary. Be wary there's a new spike in tax time scams, especially aggressive ones. She said, you get a call and they say that they're from the tax office. They say there's a warrant out for your arrest and you need to pay immediately or an officer will knock on your door. They then go on to say, no government department will ever ask to be paid by a gift card or cyber currency. This is a new way people are asking to be paid. If someone is calling you out of the blue, you need to do your own checks. The Australian Taxation Office says one new scam involves fraudsters calling or messaging people. They tell them that their tax number has been used for fraudulent purposes. They then ask for personal data over the phone or via the online link. Another scam ask claiming victims for their bank account details. As a bonus, COVID-19 will be sent to them. A tax office spokesman said scammers were evolving and getting better at pretending to be large and official organisations. Last year, we saw a spike from around 7,000 reports to up to 13,000 reports. The ATO has dedicated a scam reporting hotline. The number? 1-800-008-540. I'll say that number again at the end. Norton LifeLock cybersecurity specialist Mark Gorry said people should be cautious of all emails, all SMS messages, and all phone calls claiming to be from the tax department. If you're not sure about the validity of the communication from the ATO, then call them directly. If you are filling in your taxes online, use a secure Wi-Fi connection or a VPN. Now, a company called Know Before Security. Well, Know Before Security awareness advocate Jacqueline Jane said there had been hundreds of successful tax time scams in the past. Make sure that you are not a victim this year, she said. She goes on to say the tax office will never request personal details over the phone. Things like bank account details, or email, or SMS, or voicemail. The tax office will never call you demanding payment for anything. Okay, there's a few little pointers here. Firstly, know your own tax affairs and whether you are likely to be due for a refund or a tax debt. Secondly, understand the legitimate ways the tax office will ask you for money. If you are contacted by someone claiming to be from the tax office, independently source or contact the number. Call the ATO to confirm this. And if you're scammed, spread the word to family, friends, and report this to the ATO. Okay, I'll come back in a moment with a couple of important numbers and details. Okay, the ATO has a dedicated line for reporting scams. It is 1-800-008-540. I'll say that number again, 1-800-008-540. Don't be caught. Be careful. You're with Optimal Life on the RPH network. Okay, this next one's a bit of a difficult task, but we're going to try and sort out the jumble of my aged care. There's a lot of money out there. The government want you to stay at home rather than go into a nursing home. As we say, there's a lot of money out there to help you stay in your own home, which is better for you, it's better for the government. However, it is a jungle out there trying to access this my aged care. Let's see if we can help. Now, you might like to have a pencil and paper handy because we've got a couple of useful numbers and websites at the end. Firstly, what services are available to you with my aged care? Well, it can help you access services at home, which can improve your well-being and help you stay independent. You'll receive help with regular activities at the right time that can help you manage better at home. Now, you may be eligible to receive services such as personal care, like help with getting dressed. There's transport. They make some cases modifications to your home, like rails and ramps. Nursing, physiotherapy and other care. You can get help with meals. Household jobs like cleaning or gardening, equipment, walking frames, etc., and social activities. All right, now, are you eligible? Well, simply call My Aged Care. They'll help you understand what services may be available, how much they cost, and how you can access them. Now, what they do, they may arrange a face-to-face assessment of your needs. Short-term help. My Aged Care can also help you access short-term care services for situations like recovery from an accident or an illness. These include after a hospital stay, when you've had a setback and you want to get your independence back, when you or your carer need a break, that's respite care. Now, if you need ongoing help with day-to-day tasks or health care, a residential aged care home lets you live in supported lifestyle. They've got help available 24 hours a day. Now, it's never too early to ask about getting some extra help. Knowing what services are available before you need them will help you be prepared to make decisions about your future when you do need them. Right, having said all that, let's have a look now at what's next and what we need to do. My Aged Care is the entry point to access aged care services and information. There's a website, myagedcare.gov.au. The main phone number, 1-800-200-422. I'll come back and say those again. The other thing to keep in mind here, the sooner the better. I believe that some packages can take 1 to 2 years to become available to you. So put down now what you think you'll need in the future. It's not being deceitful. Get your name on the records. Simply again, it's myagedcare.gov.au and the phone number 1-800-200-422. Good luck with it. My Aged Care really is our friend. They just take a fair bit of accessing. As we said, good luck. And on that note, I'm afraid we must leave you. This has been Dave Jeffrey with Optimal Life. On behalf of our two lovely readers, I'd like to say once again, Virginia Collins and Lynn Perrott, missing you and look forward to being with you again soon. Bye now, everyone.